report, at least two bodies have now been pulled from the Patapsco River where the Key Bridge collapsed in Baltimore. Maryland State Police Superintendent Roland Butler Jr.
Shortly before 10 a.m., divers located a red pickup truck submerged in approximately 25 feet of water in the area of the middle span of the bridge.
Governor Wes Moore says recovery efforts for four others continue.
This is not a conclusion. It's a continuation. And we take this phase just as seriously and just as personally as we took the last phase.
The NTSB is also still collecting evidence from the cargo ship that caused this collapse, but reopening the Baltimore port will be critical. Economist Mark Zandi.
The Baltimore economy, which is already kind of a softish economy, will struggle with this. That's where the damage will be most severe.
The Navy is now mobilizing barges equipped with heavy lift cranes to help with cleanup. It's unclear, though, when they'll arrive. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court is letting a lower court ruling stand that a group of Amazon delivery drivers in Wisconsin should be classified as employees. The case is being watched closely for its impact on all kinds of different businesses. 20 elected officials across Wisconsin are urging Wisconsin Democrats to vote uninstructed on Tuesday. They're protesting President Biden's support for Israel's war in Gaza. Meanwhile, 6-12% of Wisconsin voters may go with one of the third party or independent candidates for president in November.
There's this sense that the American political system is broken and not listening to ordinary Americans. So there's lots of disenchantment.
Political scientist Kathy Kramer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. People in Port Edwards are still reeling after Fire Chief Warden's sudden resignation and close to a dozen firefighters also leaving. The village held their police and fire commission meeting last night. Jason Warden attended as a citizen and spoke during the public comment period about the actions of the board leading up to his resignation.
One whiny complaint leads to thousands of taxpayer dollars spent on an investigation, and everything comes to a standstill.
Fire department member Matt Fletcher also didn't hold back in his comments to the board.
You broke something that wasn't broken, trying to fix it. All you've done is overreach. You've hurt us again and again, and when you were told you were doing it, you kept doing it.
While the village continues to try and recruit new firefighters and designate a new chief, they are reliant on the few volunteers that remain and the mutual firefighting aid from the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department in the case of an emergency. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. Go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are the Packers headed to Brazil? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL is considering sending either the Packers or the Browns to Brazil for the season opener against the Eagles. When will they find out? Mark Murphy.
I anticipate probably within the week we'll find out. So it's either us or Cleveland.
NBA, the Bucks had a 19-point lead at home in the fourth quarter, but lost to the Lakers, 128-124 in double overtime. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
We didn't trust the pass tonight. You know, we get away with it some nights because guys make shots, but we lost our trust. Not that concerned by it, but it will scream off the tape.
College basketball, AJ Storr says he's leaving the Badgers and turning pro, eligible for the upcoming NBA draft. Are more players leaving the Badgers program?
Mike, I don't know. They don't know. We see the world we're in, you know, and there'll be other options, I'm sure, what other, you know, if guys want to test the waters in the draft or get feedback.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries around this evening, staying mostly cloudy for tonight, lows dropping into the mid-teens. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs upper 30s to around 40 degrees. On Friday, continued warming, lots of sun and a high near 50 to the low 50s.
Current temp is 30.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is. Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. Get you in there really quick. Again, got to put it out there, Steven in Green Bay, man. We're here every night early before you go to bed. We're trying to figure out, man, when you're going to call us. You can call us anytime. Hey, and if you're not Steven, you're like, well, I would like to call. Well, then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, give us a call, man. Call us
752-4842. I mean,
we can chat.
And Johnny, just remind people too, you know, you're like, hey, I can't catch the show. Hey, you know what? You know, I'm out of the market. I can't get, take that Civic Media app, go to the, you know, wherever you get your apps, download it. It's free, man. You can just always stay connected with Civic Media by doing and downloading the app. Johnny, it's Wednesday. It is. Some people are going, it's Educators Amplified. No, we had Educators Amplified last. Yeah, we had last night Educators Amplified. We made a move. Next week, though, Wednesday, back to Educators Amplified for sure. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, they'll be back in the house next Wednesday. So tonight,
because Tim, it's spring break season. It's Easter holiday for a lot of schools. I mean, so the Educators Show. So we got teachers on. We got all kinds of fun. Folks, and this is always a time of year when we're on rotation of breaks.
Yeah, man. I know.
So it's a Tuesday night on a Wednesday night for us, but we're here, and it's always a party.
Tuesday night. It's a Tuesday night on a Wednesday night. I don't know. Maybe that's a sound something like if I'm doing psilocybin, I can figure out how that. I don't know. Look at producer.
I don't know
like,
where
Tim,
you got that.
Tim's like, what are you talking about?
I was
man? Like, awesome.
We're doing a show on psychedelics. You didn't let me know.
We're not. Although, you know, hey, if you're out there, you know what? How about just give us a call, 855-752-4842. And yeah, if you're microdosing or fully dosing, that's okay. We will allow you to.
I mean, I'm not opposed to this.
That's a third option, Tim.
Yeah, or overdosing. I'm not, but I didn't know this was an option. And I am.
No, we don't.
I am on the road, and I am in Montana. I'm in Missoula. It's kind of a little hippie city, but I'm over here at University of Montana. You know, we love to take Educators Amplified on the road. And so here I'm at a nearby school to where I'm normally, you know, set up my shop. But, you know, we're on college campuses all over. So also, if you're on a college campus, you want to call in, give us a call. You know, like we talk shop education, K-12, but also for adults. And so, I mean, it goes all the way up into whatever age learner you are, generally either Tim or Johnny has popped up on your campus somewhere, microdosing or full dosing, but not overdosing.
It reminds me of the Christmas, you know, chestnuts roasting from 2 to 92. We will talk about you. How about that for a bringing on the lyrics? It's Busted Pencils. Yeah, it's fully leaded education talk, educated educators. We are talking education, Johnny. So here's the deal, right? We've been really hammering. If you support public education, that is probably the key indicator that you're a supporter of democracy, that you believe in democracy, that you have core democratic values. And I think often sometimes go like, well, then so that's my team. My political team is pro-democracy. That other political team is not pro-democracy. Well, it's not that simple, man, because core democratic values refer to not a party, but to a way of life, a way of thinking, a way of being, a commitment to how we live our lives. And so guess what? Republicans, Democrats, independents, all kinds of people can be supporters of democracy in public schools. Very, very often, Republicans lately, and because a lot of them, but a lot of Republicans somehow get lumped sometimes into the non-public schools. And tonight, I want to bring this up, though, to say, hey, guess what? There are Republicans out there, particularly in the rural areas, that are fighting for their lives for public schools because they absolutely realize that it's the core of their communities. In fact, I want to read from here, you know, from the 74 million school voucher proponents spend big to overcome rural resistance. And it just says, hey, Austin, Texas, in rural Texas, public schools are the cultural heart of small towns. People pack the high school stadium for Friday night football games and FFA classes.
Oh, love it.
FFA classes prepare the next generation for the agricultural life. In many places, more people work for the school district than for any other employer. For years, many rural Texas school districts, often barely scraping by on lean operating budgets, have relied on their local representatives in Republican-led state legislatures to fend off school voucher programs. Some of these GOP lawmakers, along with many of their liberal colleagues, pointing this out too, liberal colleagues in larger cities, they've argued about giving families the taxpayer dollars to send their private schools or to educate them at home, which would drain money from the public schools. So yes, guess what? And the reality here is, Johnny looks like he's going to sleep. He's saying this is boring information. No, Johnny, how do you, you're a Republican.
TLDR, Tim, come on, man. You're going to read us the whole article?
No. But rural, talk radio. So in the Friday night football, rural areas. Okay, largely, right. Here's the deal. We have now, too, coming out of Tennessee, an incredibly great reporter, Phil Williams, coming out of News Channel 5 in Tennessee, did some work, and in fact, working with a rural Republican in that area. Anya, we have a couple of clips here. Let's hit that first 30 seconds just to set up this news story here. So we're going to go to Tennessee. So Texas, Tennessee, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Tonight, News Channel 5 Investigates reveals yet another secret recording showing how Tennessee lawmakers face pressure to send a lot of your tax dollars to private schools in our state. Thanks for joining us here at 6. I'm Rory Johnston.
And I'm Carrie Sharp. In the recording, you will hear, obtained by Chief Investigative Reporter Phil Williams, you will hear how one group with virtually unlimited money to spend threatens a reluctant lawmaker that his job could be at stake if he doesn't vote for school vouchers.
There it is, Johnny, right there. The reality news. And I gotta hand it to the media here for digging deep into this and finding this out. But there is the reality. You've got a Republican who supports rural schools in Tennessee and being pressured by big money, big donor, Koch brothers, you know, man, billionaires through organizations that try to appear grassroots, and these grassroots organizations then come up to the legislator and say, hey, look, if you don't vote for school choice, we're going to spend, you know, they don't spend billions, but the amount of money that they can access, because we're going to take you out. We're going to publicly hang you. And some of these recordings have been caught where, you know, Americans for Prosperity, one of them, are sitting there saying, like, look, if Johnny Lupinacci, if you don't vote for school vouchers, we're going to primary you. We're going to publicly hang you. We're going to take you out. There's a lot of threats there. Anya, let's hit that other piece that I had you set up there, too. Just kind of setting the mood.
Republican Representative Todd Warner from Marshall County has found himself facing pressure from Americans for Prosperity, even though he says he promised his constituents he would not vote for vouchers.
And I give those teachers my word back then, those school administrators and parents, that I would not take money, support any legislation that, may take money from our public school system. And I'm going to stand on my word.
Have you threatened members?
Not threatened, no, that's not my style. But sometimes people think I'm a little bossy, and, you know, it doesn't always come off as the best look for me.
So, John, I got to hand it to this Republican lawmaker, the absolute steadfast. I told my constituents, in other words, being a representative of the democracy, hearing from his people saying you cannot vote against our local public schools. And he's like, well, that's my job as a representative, is to represent the people's voice. And he's like, I can't vote for school choice. But the reality here is that billionaires in this, in Texas and Tennessee and a lot of these rural states, Pennsylvania billionaires funding candidates in Texas to say, you know what, you're going to vote for vouchers, you're going to vote for school choice, you're going to vote against democracy. The reality here is, Johnny, so putting this out there, thinking about this, going, every way too often people try to say one group is pro-democracy, one group isn't the other. And we know this too, as they pointed out, there are lots of, particularly in the cities, liberal, quote, people who are very much in the school choice program too, right? Pointing and saying they want to send money using the public schools. But here we are right now. We've got some representatives, you know, trying to hold on to democracy. And the reality is that the amount of money, it reminds me of L.A. Tom always talking about this, the amount of money these people are up against to continue to protect democracy. I don't know what we're going to do about this, Johnny.
Well, Tim, I mean, this is fascinating reporting. It's great journalism because, you know, it's exposing something that we've talked about on here, and we also know it is happening. But I think it needs to be part of the regular discussion. Like, if these policies are so anti-public education, or they're really anti-patriotic, right? Then how come there's so much pressure, right? And like, I think this example of rural Republicans who are advocating in the interest of public schools, right? It's part of being a patriot, is understanding the fabric of democracy and holding value at all of those core democratic values. So hearing that kind of pressure from an advocacy group like Americans for Prosperity, which is really about, you know, it's a group that's advocating for what they call principled policy. It's not democratic policy. It's what they're calling principled policy. And really that's, like, I think L.A. Tom would say, that's big money. Right. That's privatization of a democracy. So that's political interest. And I'll always go back to this. We talked about this when we were introducing and talking about, like, the dangers of Moms for Liberty. You know, I actually give, like, they're exercising their democratic right.
Right.
Right. And so advocacy groups like Americans for Prosperity, they're advocating, they have the right to say we want principled policy. Right. But what we need to expose in this, and this is what that reporting does, that clip that you shared, is that this is actually bullying people who are representing their local views and supporting their teachers. You know, I know we got to go to break, but when we come back, we can talk about how awesome it was to hear that political person stand up for teachers.
I love that right there. Yeah. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. 855-752-4842 is the number. Hey, guess what? Republicans can support public schools. Believe it? Yes, they can. Because guess what? Democracy is for everybody. More when we get back.
For more.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Hey,
Badgers, spring is right around the corner, and so is the annual Crazy Lakes Classic. Sign up today for the 8K run or 2-mile walk on April 27th and celebrate 175 years of UW-Madison. For more information and to register, visit CrazyLakesClassic.com. That's CrazyLakesClassic.com. The annual Crazy Lakes Classic, a Madison tradition unlike any other. Make sure you participate on April 27th.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Yeah. You know it, man. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. Can you be a Republican and support democracy? Yes, you can. We see it in Texas. We see it in Tennessee. Great reporting coming out of Tennessee, where Republican lawmakers who absolutely 100% support their public schools are being pressured by billionaire-funded groups like Americans for Prosperity to change their votes to vote against the citizens that they represent. Vote against citizens they represent.
Not against the people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, very anti-democratic. I would say not very much on a democratic core value, but here they are, and they're standing up, and you sit there and go, it's like, wait a minute. What is going on here that there is such an attack? Why are billionaires, and I want to ask this question, why are billionaires investing their money in movements to upend democracy? Because people are like, no, Tim, they're funding school choice. No, they're not funding school choice. They are funding a move to dismantle public education. That is then a direct attack on democracy. These are undemocratic. I don't know if we want to use the F word, but, you know, oligarchic. You know, I was going to say the FA, you know, fat. I don't want to go all the way there. But, you know, definitely there and saying the idea that they're trying to say it's a parent's choice and me and every other taxpayer should pay for that choice. No, you live in America, in a state, in a democracy where the common, thus those in the commons, we fund public education because public education is the corner, is the foundation, is the bedrock of democracy. You have a choice if you don't want to go through democratic education, I guess, but you don't have a choice to have me pay for it. So the reality is here, dude, I'm just looking at this and going, really, when people say billionaires are trying to, you know, no, billionaires are trying to literally upend our democracy. And the reality is here is that Democrats, Republicans, whatever, if you're representing your constituents and your constituents say, no, we don't want school choice, then there you go. Joanne is on the line. We've been wondering where Joanne is. Joanne, how are you, our friend?
Really good. This is an incredible discussion. I just want to put it in a slightly different slant as a professor myself and hearing a lot of teachers on the line and all that. We are called to stifle ourselves in the classroom and in our professional activities when it comes to these important questions. Whatever those questions are, I mean, even in terms of something like Gaza, if a student comes up to me and says, what do you feel about what's happening? I can't say, oh, genocide, or whatever, you know, dot, 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 or Israel is defending itself, whatever that position is. And for the student, at the student level, one would think, oh, this person isn't political. You know, then therefore I shouldn't be political. I mean, it's a bad example. I mean, every year we get a statement as professors, we get a statement from the chancellor that says, don't talk about politics in the classroom. But again, with K-12, I mean, teachers should be able to say, this is how I feel about school choice, and be vocal about it in professional context. So, again, it's so dicey. I mean, I'm listening to some of these discussions and say, wow, I wish I could talk about this more openly for my students, and I say, what's stopping me? Well, that's what's stopping me. So, again, great discussion.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. Really, really, really appreciate when you're calling in there. Hey, if you want to be like Joanne, you too can give us a call. Busted Pencils, it's 855-752-4842. So, John, I just want to go hard on the reality of attacking public schools through, quote, choice is attacking democracy.
Yeah, and a caller, Joanne, brings up a really important point, and so does, I mean, you said, I don't want to use the F word, but I'll just use it like as we move closer to a fascist state or a fascist government. That's the F word Tim's talking about, by the way. He's teasing those inappropriate ones. It's like, I mean, it's just dangerous to say because we reserve that word for actual fascism. And that's why I said, as we move closer to that, the kinds of things that are signs, right? This is studied. We happen to be experts on this. Like we often talk about how we're experts on democracy, but we understand democracy because we also have studied multiple forms of governance.
Yes,
you know, and antithesis to democratic state, right, is the fascist state, right? And so as we move towards a fascist state, one with more like what the policy group, the Americans for what they're calling for in their principle is what Joanne's talking about. It's not even subtle. It's pretty direct silencing. And that's silencing of educators. That's not silencing of like people who might not be experts. That's actually saying, hey, you're an expert on this. Don't say X, Y, or Z. Or remember, you have to stay neutral. And, you know, one of our favorite guys, Howard Zinn, reminds us, you can't be neutral on a moving train. And folks, we're all on a moving planet. And then we're all on a moving train and we're all part of a democracy. And it's important to express our political views because not expressing our political views is political. Right? And Joanne brings that up. And I'm going to connect those dots, Tim, because, you know, you said, oh, dare I use the F word? Well, you know, these are signs. These are telltale signs of moving closer to fascism. Right. And that's something that neither, I think, good Republicans. Yes, I said that. Right. As much as sometimes we're like, no, there's no good Republican, you know, good good political people,
good patriots
who are representing their constituency are saying, hey, our schools are really important. And let's break it down, because school choice, when you're in a rural community, is pretty much only your local public school. It's not like when we talk about all these choices, if you're in an area with several choices, that's something different.
You want to join? Let me jump in there just for a second, because one of the things too, when you say there are no choices in rural, and there's a reason why too, because actually the majority of rural people like Friday night football, like the prom, like kindergarten parades, they don't want a choice. And so this idea of choices being thrust upon them, a very anti-democratic. I'm sorry to cut you off, my friend.
No, it's okay. I mean, and that's the thing I think is really important. Joanne, bringing this to the forefront, thank you for your contribution, Joanne, and also for your courage and your patriotism to say that, yes, we professors do get statements from our chancellors that say, you know, here's kind of the non-political view that we hope you carry into your classroom. Well, you know what, Tim? That's a form of silencing and ignoring for young people that we are supposed to be modeling good citizenship to ignore something like violent conflict in Israel and Palestine is absolutely a political statement. It's telling us, you know, let's look the other way. So if democracy is about justice and equality and human rights, and we're modeling looking the other way, we're anti-democratic ourselves. So it puts us in this bind of how do we too be courageous, like Joanne, who called in and said, you know, I'm told this, but I also have a job that I took an oath to, right? And it's to uphold democracy through public education. And so when we do that, we teach the truth.
We teach the truth. And you think about that, what she said is, and so the reality of a public school teacher, a public school professor standing up and talking about advocating for the public school and pushing against choice, why that's not political. That's your job. You're an employed public educator. It's Busted Pencils. Cam, we're going to get right to you. 855-752-4842 when we get back.
noon and Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve. Mark Pocan, my congressman, joins the Devil's Advocates radio show 4 to 6 across the state of Wisconsin.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump will hold his first Wisconsin rally of the presidential campaign on Tuesday. His campaign says Trump will visit Green Bay on the day of the state's presidential primary election. Wisconsin's a battleground state, and the Marquette poll says only 2% of voters in Wisconsin have not made up their minds. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in La Crosse and Wausau today talking about boosting the economy with infrastructure projects.
Billions of dollars have been sent down from Joe Biden to the governor and to the mayors and to communities like this that have helped, you know, change people's lives.
Mitch Landrieu spearheaded the president's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. He met with mayors in Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, and Sheboygan yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Central Wood County fire agencies are helping roll out the slow-moving vehicle sign campaign. The Pittsville Fire Company and many other fire agencies in the area are helping distribute SMV signage for farm implements and other slow-moving vehicles traveling on our roadways to help reduce crashes. These orange triangles, outlined in red and white, help increase visibility and safety for slow-moving vehicles. Funding for this project comes from the National Farm Medicine Center, Nasonville Dairy, H&S Manufacturing, and Rural Mutual Insurance. You can visit the Pittsville Fire Company Facebook page for a list of local fire agencies distributing SMV signage to help make your operation safer. Tomorrow is the last day to apply for an absentee ballot. The deadline to apply by mail is 5 p.m. on Thursday, March 28th. You must make a request for an absentee ballot in writing or online at myvote.wi.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Kripcast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dudette.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Kripcast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Okay, romantics, season 28 of The Bachelor is in the books, and tabloids, including the New York Post, are calling the finale absolutely jaw-dropping. Apparently, no one saw Bachelor Joey Grazide handing a rose and proposing to the finalist who said yes. See, jaw-dropping would have been the appropriate headline if she said no. But instead, this season ended like the previous 27 seasons, in routine, jaw-dropping fashion. Here's hoping they last until the premiere of season 29. Say what you want about reality TV, but they are making strides in diversity. The Hollywood Reporter says The Bachelorette will have an Asian-American lead for the first time. 25-year-old Jen Tran has been selected for the show's 21st season to fend off prospective husbands. Tran was eliminated from this season of The Bachelor, but sometimes 15 minutes of fame comes with a snooze alarm. Good luck, Jen. We hope you find TV love. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries around this evening, staying mostly cloudy for tonight, lows dropping into the mid-teens. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs upper 30s to around 40 degrees. On Friday, continued warming, lots of sun and a high near 50 to the low 50s.
Right now it's 31.
As you age, you may have questions about finding transportation, healthy meals, or other services around your home and in your community. And the Elder Care Locator has the answers at 1-800-677-1116. Our caring advisors can connect you to trustworthy local experts and the support you need to age well at home. Real people, real assistance, and real connections are just a phone call away with the Elder Care Locator. 1-800-677-1116.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
just forgotten what the color of her eyes were, and her scars or how she got them. Has the tell?
Oh, yeah, Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Republicans supporting democracy, defending public schools. Yes, it can happen, because guess what? Democratic core values are for everybody. And Cam, though, Cam from Nina, we got Cam on the line. Cam, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, you guys can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, man, you sound great.
Cool. Well, so regardless of what side of the political fence you might lean on, you don't have to be one way or the other necessarily, but realistically, you can probably all agree, Republican or Democrat, that if someone is paying money to a politician, they're probably doing things for them. Like, and I'm talking in terms of like companies, right? Well, there are companies that are lobbying for these, for the school choice stuff. So it's reasonable to assume that once teaching goes out to these private companies rather than being a public service, that they're going to switch to lobbying the schools to get them to teach people the specific things that they feel like they should or should not be taught. And I don't think people are quite grasping that. And if even if you don't agree with the left, when they're done in your perfect world, if they're done crushing the left, they're going to move on to the next thing, which is more control. And that's going to involve taking more away from you if you're not someone that has money.
Cam, man, you are speaking some serious truth. That's the reality. It's like, you know, what is being funded? And when somebody's funding, they want something in return. Right now, I can blatantly say what they want in return is the destruction of public schools. And that is a statement that is anti-democratic in and of itself. The reality of funding the dismantling of public education is a statement that you're not a supporter of freedom, of liberty, of democracy. You are a supporter of, as Johnny says, you're on that train to fascism, man. Johnny, what do you say?
Yeah, I appreciate your call, Cam. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in and for breaking it down so clearly. You know, yeah, Tim, I'm not as familiar with, Americans for Prosperity, but you know, you sent me the article and I'm kind of due diligence, you know, digging in and looking up, you know, what they're for. And the things that they're for under their educational policies, one, they want to fund every kid. Families should be able to direct education funding on behalf of their children. Again, so this is individualizing it, not making it a sense of the common good, but you should be able to, based on like where you can afford to live or where you can, whether you have the like the economic means to, you know, kinds of transportation or gas prices. Remember, let's think about our rural communities where you may, maybe there is a choice for schools. Maybe you're advocating, because another point of advocacy for Americans for Prosperity is that, you know, there should be no more lines. Students and families should be able to choose their public school no matter where they live. Well, if I'm 90 minutes from the next public school, right, that's a significant amount of gas and driving and time. It's likely I can't really make that choice. So it's the illusion of choice. It's the choice that's no choice. And that's what, whether they're Republican or Democrat, rural politicians are representing their constituency saying, whoa, hold on. This may sound good the way it's packaged, but when you peel back the layers, it's absolutely against our interest and the interest of educating our youth. You know, we are defunded. We're able to provide a less than education, which is also antithetical to the points that even Americans for Prosperity are making. They're saying that all students, all children should be able to have, no matter what kind of school they're enrolled in, they should have a good education, right? And so if you want that and you want that for everybody, then these policies absolutely, you know, exclude people based on their location and their economic means. So they're exclusionary policies.
Yeah, producer Anya, you got a little personal story there.
Oh, I just perked up a little bit because honestly, this brought back not a repressed memory, but something that just hasn't occurred to me in so long. I'm originally from very, very far up north, close to our Park Falls station through Civic Media. Mm. I'm from Springstead, technically. And I went from 4K until halfway through second grade, I went to a public school in Mercer, which was 10, 15 minutes from where I lived. And I experienced some pretty severe bullying. I even had a teacher there who was very vocal about not wanting me in her class the following year. And there was only one third grade class. That's a very long story that I'll tell you guys some other time. It has to do with my adoption and understanding of what my racial background was due to my adoption and whether or not I was actually white and that she would not did not want to deal with a student who was not. Anyways, the story is after I left that school, we did drive. I think it was like 70 minutes one way to the next closest public school from where I lived. And, you know, my mom would drive me there and then drive back to the house and then drive to pick me up and drive back to the house. And it was it really just occurred to me. I completely forgot about that chunk of my childhood where huge parts of my family's life and time were lost because we were so rural that this was the next option. So yeah, I just wanted to speak to that because it definitely is happening here in this state. It happened to me 20 some years ago, and I wouldn't be shocked to find it still happening up north or anywhere throughout the state. So yeah,
it is, and it's there, and we realize it out there. You know, Johnny, I'm thinking about this though too. You know, as we hear about though these rural Republicans that are standing up for their constituents, the billionaire, the Americans for Prosperity, that continue to dump money against these candidates. You know, I'm going to go back to the 74 million article again and quote: "The wall of resistance is now on the verge of collapse, thanks to a multi-million dollar political offensive." Led, this is in Texas, by the governor, Greg Abbott, and heavily funded billionaire out-of-state allies committed to spreading school choice nationwide. And that's what we're pointing out here is that these rural Republicans in Texas, in Tennessee, in other places that are trying to hold back the school choice movement, they are slowly being picked off by big money and being moved out, primaried, taken out, so that school choice advocates sponsored by, gee, I wonder, do Americans Prosperity get their money once they put their money out there? Yes, they get their money's worth, because guess what? Once you get one of these people in office, then they vote for school choice. And I want to make clear here that I'm sorry, but if you're voting for school choice, that is, now, point it this way. I heard somebody say, I don't mind school choice. However, it is not going to be at the expense of taxpayer money, because everybody, quote, has a choice. You have a choice to choose private education that you can fund yourself, or you have the choice to go to the public school, the commons, the fully funded by all of us. You can choose that. There's already a choice, the reality here, but you don't have a choice to take taxpayer money to throw into private schools. Private schools is what Cam was saying, though, too. And at what point are those schools actually teaching values that matter in a democracy? And that's where I keep coming back to, Johnny, is that public schools have to support democracy, have to. Private schools don't. You know, in fact, they can have fascist-leaning private schools, and guess what? Your tax dollars can then fund that. This is where I want people to understand the reality that we're dealing with here is it's not about choice. It's not about giving kids a passage to out of failing schools. It's about dismantling and destroying local public schools at the expense of our democracy. So I'm putting that out there, Johnny. There's a passionate plea in my voice tonight to recognize and say, look, I'm okay with you making a choice for private schools. You cannot come in with billions, although you can. It's perfectly legal. Billions of dollars to buy what you want, particularly if what you want is undemocratic. That's the reality. I know people are like, but schools are for teaching and learning. Yes, they are. And guess what? The most fundamental teaching and learning public schools are practicing democracy, practicing what it means to be a responsible, engaged, civic citizen in this democracy. If you want that defunded, that's telling me something about your commitment or your commitment to upending not just public schools, but upending core democratic values, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, yeah, Tim. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's exactly kind of what we're breaking down here is, again, is anti-democratic. There's not much more to say about it. It's the opposite of the kind of move or decision we should be making here. And to bring it back to some of the things we talked about this week, you know, this is why it's important not only to support your local public schools, but to look deep into the political representation and demand, like, hey, are you representing the best interests of your constituency mm-hmm. and advocating for the strength of our public schools here? Mm. You know, the vote that, you know, is against public schools is really a vote for, you know, the privatization and mm-hmm. to the marketization of, you know, the profitization. I think, you know, we had offered to us the other day. It's really about creating expensive alternatives, right? That people who can afford already have access to. It's not like we're against alternatives. It's mm-hmm. just our public money should go into like making sure. And I love the, you know, the metaphor that our guest this week, earlier this week, you know, shared. And, you know, and he said, look, I love the idea of like the rising tides, all the boats raise, but what if you're not in a boat? Mm. Right. And so, and we can have different kinds of boats, but we got a lot of people who are not in boats at all. And so really when we're funding at public education, we're making sure that, you know, we're increasing the amount of boats that are there for the rising tide.
Absolutely. That's what we're doing. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It's Wednesday, trending education news. And I thought nothing is trending more than the onslaught of billionaires coming after rural Republicans who support public schools. 855-752-4842 is the number. You can jump in. Give us a call. Hey, if you're a billionaire out there, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call. Defend yourself. Please explain to me how you spending your billions to get schools, public schools dismantled, is some evidence of your commitment to democracy. I would say right now, and I'm bringing you on here, if you're spending millions of your billions to upend public democracy, you're stating very loud and clear that you do not support democracy. You do not support freedom. You do not support liberty. You support oligarchy, and you are on the road to fascism. That's just the reality. Call it what it is. And so put out there to the voters and say, we want to vote for dismantling public schools. Just put it out there. Let's have a vote. Do we want public schools or do we want fully privatized schools? Do we want dismantled public schools? The reality here is that you'll lose every single time because, you know, the majority of people say we like public schools. 855-752-4842. That's why, Johnny, that's always a misdirection or a sell for something that it's really not about. Whether it started in Milwaukee in the 90s, getting kids out of failing public schools, to now it's parents' rights. Parents have the right. You know, we think about our own astrophysicist, Ethan Siegel. And the reality here is that blow up democracy. That's what we're talking about there. Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded. It's 855. It's 752. It's 4842. And yes, can Republicans defend democracy? They sure can. And we see a lot of Republicans in rural areas right now saying, my constituents said, and my job is to represent my constituents, because that's what we do in a representative democracy. They said, They don't want me to vote for school choice. That's what I'm doing. Oh, you know what, though? If I got a couple billion dollars, I'm coming after you to change your vote. Busted pencils? Man, how about you bust some pencils with us? 855-752-4842. Johnny and I'll come back and break it down.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ah, yes. Busted pencils. There we are, man. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Hey, it's a heavy concept tonight.
Heavy hidden concepts.
Yeah, you know, the attack on democracy. You know, people are like, no, Tim, this is about school choice. No. It's not about school choice. It's about whether you are truly a defender of democracy. If you truly are a patriot, if you truly do love freedom, then the reality is that you can't be supporting the dismantling of your public schools. Because if you support the dismantling of your public schools, that tells me that you might be a fascist, or at least heading that direction. You know, Johnny, go ahead. I see you want
to
jump.
Well, no, you know, and we come back to this, like we started with this really good journalism that's exposing, you know, the pressure that Americans for Prosperity are putting on this rural Republican, you know, a policy maker in Tennessee. And when we think about it, another point that is listed is the Americans for Prosperity as another key point is that children learn everywhere. Agreed. We all agree. Sure. Children are learning where they're learning when they're playing in the parks. And we need to not defund our park systems. They're learning when they go to the museum. Let's fund our museum systems. They're learning when they go to the doctor's office. Let's pump money into good health care and good pediatricians and access for all those things, especially for our rural communities. But our rural and urban and suburban communities, all children are deserving of these things. So I agree with them. But then we have to remember also that an important part of the commons, let's apply commons sense, like we talked about last night, important part of the commons is public education. And what democracy isn't is anything goes, right? Right? That's not what we're calling for here. And to say that, you know, Americans for Prosperity say children learn everywhere. Students learn everywhere all the time, and they deserve credit for learning. Well, we'll give them credit in terms of like you're learning while you're playing. But then there is a thing called school. There is reading, writing, arithmetic, civics, and all the different things. So, I mean, it's really important to remember that like this democracy isn't anything goes. We're in public schools working all the time to provide the best education access to a body of knowledge that's scientific consensus, that's backed and approved by, you know, child development experts, pediatricians, mental health professionals, all those people contributing. That is where we bank on, no matter who you are, where you come from. In schools, you'll receive the best opportunity available to you through our democracy. It's a slippery slope when you advocate for anything goes. Really, what you mean is, I already know, because I have the most money, the loudest voice, or the biggest power, the most power, that I'm going to, that saying that children learn everywhere means that I can do whatever I want, or I want people to do whatever they want. You're really taking an opportunity away from kids that don't have. I think we might have a caller that we
maybe squeeze
in. Let's get a caller. Let's do it.
Let's squeeze them in. L.A. Tom.
My man.
Our friend. What's happening?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second is that last night when Johnny was going on about the commons and everything, I think of it more as the commons is something that we all share in common. The roads we all share in common. The bridges is what we all share in common. The power to run, to have our houses have heat in them and lights on. That's something that we all share in common. And in that, that we all share that in common means that it should be owned by we the people, not by a profitized or a private company, because they are out to make a profit. The public, government, we the people are not out to make a profit. We are out to make for the public good.
Tom, L.A. Tom, man.
Love it, man.
Serious dropping of knowledge and a truth bomb there, man. We always love when L.A. Tom gives us a call. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we're putting out there profitizing. You know, and Johnny, L.A. Tom kind of points out this, you know, the profitizing and that private schools are profitizing. And I'm really going on the, I'm not even really looking at the marketing this time and how much money gets funded. You know, who stands to gain when public schools lose their funding? Who makes money? I know that's also a whole big issue there, because it's like, who stands to make money when private schools get public dollars? There's a lot of money there. I just really want to hit hard, though, tonight, specifically on this idea of going, man, if you support your public schools and the attack on you, doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, but the billionaire attack that's coming after you for supporting democracy, that's what we're putting it out there. And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys believe in like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. I can go for an indoctrination around democratic ideals. Sorry, that's kind of what we're supposed to be about. If you aren't for, I guess, an indoctrination in democracy, again, what are you telling me about who you are then? Because indoctrination of democracy doesn't sound like something we should be against.
Well, Tim, I'm against it. I'm just going to say, you know, I on the other side of that believe that, like, we can educate about these things and ask children, like, what matters? What's important to them? Okay, their safety. Okay, we can agree on common things that are nonpartisan that we agree upon. Well, how do we organize in a way that supports that? That's not indoctrinating. How do we, asking the question, how do we organize in a way that supports these basic needs that ought to be afforded by everyone, or opportunity to be participatory in for everyone? And when we ask that question and we start to list out on the board all the different things, okay, that's how we get to core democratic values. That's, we don't need to invent them. They've been distilled over centuries, right? Over centuries around the globe. We can do stories on the history of democratic values. So we don't need to indoctrinate. The thing is, the myth is that you know, we need to hurry up and force them. Like, no, I think they can emerge from, they come out of, and that's inquiry, and that's, you know, being engaged as a democratic citizen. So I think that's what you mean. But I'm with you too. Sometimes I'm just like, come on, man. Come on, man. No, if you're gonna accuse us of it.
Well, it's the indoctrination. And we say, it's like, bring it out, but bring to life. You know, people are like, Tim, you're for indoctrination. It's like, well, okay, you know,
we got on one there for a minute.
Yeah. You know, but you know, I'm sorry, when it comes to democracy, you know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support. Man, although it's Busted Pencils. Ooh. Hey, tomorrow night, John Warner, some artificial intelligence. See y'all tomorrow night.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Thursday on Matt Nair On Air. Join us for Public Service Announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and then we talk all things sports with Paul Noonan. Don't miss it.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000.
97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Rick.